How do I launch a podcast? How do I grow my audience? How can I earn money from my show? What's the best mic or recording equipment to use? The Podcast Host Academy answers all those questions and more. The Podcast Host Academy offers 22 in-depth courses, hundreds of video lessons, dozens of hours of learning, live support sessions, and more. If you want to be a successful podcaster, then the Podcast Host Academy is the way to go. Click the link in the description to find out more. Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I'll be reviewing 1994's A Lowdown Dirty Shame. Hi guys, and welcome to the show. We're just going to get straight into the review. This month, the whole month of May, I'm going to be reviewing movies that the Wayans brothers made. Is what I'm going to be doing all this week. And this week I'm starting with A Lowdown Dirty Shame, starring Keenan Ivory Wayans, the oldest of the Wayans brothers. It was only fair that I start with the oldest of the brothers, you know, to kick off this month. Like I said, don't really have things I watched this week. There was really nothing I watched this week. There's a couple of things that I do have to get into. Like I said, I'm trying to get into Snowfall. Really trying to get into Snowfall. A lot of people are like, oh my God, Snowfall is so good. I'm trying to get into it. I'm having a hard time getting into that, you know. I'm really having a hard time feeling Snowfall. It's just watching black people sell drugs is just fucking cliche to me now, you know. Like, I really don't want to see that shit anymore, you know. It's not a thing that I'm interested in, you know. Everybody's talking about Invincible. I gotta get into Invincible. If Invincible looks like something that I would like, you know, I gotta get into that. I'm probably gonna start getting into that. You know, I don't think I really watch Invincible. Because of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I was watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I was really into that. So I didn't have the time. My only free day is like fucking Friday. You know, like a Friday night. You know, like Friday night. Maybe like Saturday night. You know, like I really don't have a lot of free time. You know, like free time on my hands. Like I work. I do this podcast. I prep for this podcast. Then I do Twitch. I also have a Twitch. I watch this as an adult on Twitch. Go check me out. Go follow me over there, by the way, also. So, I do Twitch now, also. And like I said, do this podcast. I think I already mentioned that. You know, so, I don't have a lot of free time on my... I don't have a lot of free time on my hands. You know, so, I'm always fucking working. You know, like, I'm always doing something, you know. And I don't have a lot of free time. So, like, I don't watch a lot of things, like. So, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is over. There were no big movies that came out this Friday. You know, like last week, I had Mortal Kombat, you know. But, like, there wasn't really any big fucking movies that came out this week that I can review, you know. I know they had that Without Remorse movie with Michael B. Jordan, but that looked kind of fucking lame. I'm not really interested in that. There was no big TV shows that came out this week, you know. Like I said, I was trying to get into Snowfall. I watched Class Action Park again, you know, like on HBO. I watched a Black Lady sketch show with my wife. You know, I did that. That's our thing. I watched that with her. And also, I watched like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reruns, you know, like, this weekend. That was my weekend. That was pretty much my fucking weekend. I didn't really do a lot this weekend or watch a lot this weekend. But I guess that could be a things I watched this week, you know. You know, like, I'm gonna call this things I didn't watch this week. How about that? So that was a little short thing about my day. I'm gonna take a break because I'm required to take a break. So I had to fill this time with something so I can take a break. Okay, so. I will be back with the review of Lowdown Dirty Shame after a break from our sponsors. Bruce is an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the Brush redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist, a fresh, whole mouth clean, every single day. Our listeners get 15% off their total purchase with the code POD15. Follow the link in the show notes and enter the code POD15 to get your exclusive discount and upgrade your oral care routine. Alright guys, welcome back. Finally, we can get into the review of A Lowdown Dirty Shame. It came out in 1994, and it stars Keenan Ivory Wayans. I remember watching this movie with my family on cable. That's how I watched it as a kid. And I also remember actually liking this movie a lot. As a kid, I remember liking this movie a whole lot as a kid, and also thinking that the character that Keenan Ivory Wayans played was super cool. I remember this is embarrassing because I was a fucking kid. I was like, what, eight? I was like 8 years old at the time. Every time the movie would come on, I used to like act out like all the action scenes in the movie. It's lame, I know. It's fucking lame. But yeah, I used to do that. I used to act out all the action scenes in the movie. I used to like jump off the couch and try to fight and shoot guns and shit and all that shit. Out of all movies, it's this one, you know, that I would act out the action scenes. It's weird. I know. I was a weird child. Sorry. Let's get to the production of this movie. This movie was written and directed by Keenan Ivory Wayans. This movie has the unfortunate task of getting a Rotten Tomatoes score, the unfortunate luxury of getting a Rotten Tomatoes score of 0%. It's got a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, which personally I think this is undeserving. You know, very undeserving. I gotta get on Rotten Tomatoes. I really do. I gotta, like, I review movies. They're old movies, but I also review new movies too. But I gotta get on Rotten Tomatoes. I gotta figure out how to get on Rotten Tomatoes, because, like, there's a lot of movies on Rotten Tomatoes that have just very, very undeserving scores. And I would like to change that, because, like, if I was on Rotten Tomatoes, I would have probably given this at least a 70. You know, I would have given this a 70%. It's not that bad of a movie. I'm showing my hand right now. I know I'm showing my poker face of what I thought of the movie. But I'd give it a 70%. It's not that bad. I'm like, it's not the greatest movie in the world. It's not the greatest movie in the world, but it's not terrible. You know, it's not that terrible. This movie all around had fucking bad luck, though. Because, like, the movie had a budget of $10 million and only brought in $29 million. On the Thanksgiving weekend. It's pretty low for a Thanksgiving holiday release. So, I think it came in at, like, number 5, I want to say. It came in at number 5 at the box office. I looked it up on our Box Office Mojo. That I think this came in at number 5. And it's like, it's funny. I was talking about this with my wife as I was doing research for this review. I was saying, like, it's funny to watch, to look at things from the past and see, like, how they performed in their era. Because this movie, like, turned into kind of like a black cult classic, you might say. This movie's kind of a black cult classic, and you look at how bad it did at the box office, how terribly it did, you know, and the fact that it has a 0 score on Rotten Tomatoes, you know, it's fun to see how things performed and how they're revered, really, how things are revered as time goes along, you know, as time goes along. Like, this movie pretty much became like a cult classic, kind of like a black cult classic. But moving on, let's talk about the plot. The plot follows a former LAPD detective named Andre Shame. I didn't even know that was his first name. They just call him by his last name. You know, they call him Shame. And then for the longest time, I thought his name was Shane. You know, like, I thought his name was Shane. Because it sounds like people are saying Shane, but they're saying Shame. You know? So his name is Andre Shame. Played by Keenan Ivory Wayans, who runs a private investigation firm with his sassy secretary, Peaches, played by Jada Pinkett. Not Smith, Jada Pinkett. This is before she got the Smith. But ghosts from Shame's past come back in the form of his ex-partner, Sonny Rothmiller, played by Charles S. Dutton, and his ex-girlfriend, Angela Flowers, played by Sally Richardson. And drug lord Ernesto Mendoza, played by Andrew Devoff. Before I get into the movie, before I talk about anything about this movie, I gotta give props to the Wayans brothers. You know, I admire the Wayans brothers' ingenuity. I admire that whole family's ingenuity, because it's not just them, it's like the younger kids are up, you know, like, and doing their thing too. Cause you got Damon Wayans Jr. out here. You got, the other one, Damian Wayans out here. You got Shantae Wayans, who's a stand-up comic, you know, like, they're out here, like, they're doing their thing, you know. I gotta give it up to this family. I gotta give it up to this family for the ingenuity and being self-made. Like, they didn't wait for nobody to give them nothing. They built an empire off of comedy, and it's black owned, and I admire that about them. It's like, you could say that all the movies aren't good, you know, you could say, like, it's gross out humor or humor that doesn't age well or anything like that, but I gotta give it to them, man. Like, they did their thing. They didn't wait for nobody to give them nothing. They went out there and took it. I gotta get that to the Wayans brothers. And even this movie, I look at it now, even looking at it now, as I was watching the movie, I was like, I don't think I got it when I was a kid, but I get it now. It was like, Keenan Ivory Wayans was trying to make a modern day Shaft here. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to make a modern day Shaft. There might have been sequels had this movie done well, you know. You might have saw Shame Goes to Africa or some shit, you know. You might have saw some shit like that. I don't know. But yeah, man, he was trying to make a modern day Shaft. That's what this movie was supposed to be. This is also the first appearance of bald Keenan Ivory Wayans. This is the first appearance of the bald head, which he still rocks today. Another thing I like about this movie is I feel like Keenan was trying to get out of his comfort zone on this one. Because he did a lot of movies before this. He did I'm Gonna Get You Sucker. He did that. And that's kind of a parody. You know, that's like a parody of blaxploitation film. And then he was in Hollywood Shuffle. I remember him being in Hollywood Shuffle. You know, that's a straight ahead comedy. But this is kind of like an action comedy. It's like an action comedy. Like, it's like an action movie with humor in it. And he was trying, like, I like that he was trying to step out of his comfort zone. And I love it when comedians, especially black comedians, step out of their comfort zones. I love that shit. I love it when they stop doing the funny ha-ha and start trying to get into the drama, you know, and even the horror, you know. Fucking Jordan Peele, with all the horror stuff he's doing. Chris Rock stepping out of his comfort zone and doing a horror film. You know, I love it when black comedians step outside. Mike Epps steps outside sometimes and does some serious things. And, you know, there's a couple, Jamie Foxx steps outside, does serious things. He does action stuff. He does drama. You know, like, I love it when black comedians step outside of their comfort zone. You know, because there's a lot of white comedians that step outside their comfort zone. There's a lot of white comedians that step outside their comfort zone, and you don't even know they're fucking comedians until, like, you see them do stand-up or some shit. You know, like, fucking, you got fucking Bob Odenkirk. That nigga started off on, like, Mr. Show. And he's doing, like, fucking John Wick action shit. You know? And Robin Williams was the king of that. You know, Tom Hanks was a comedy guy. You know, before Philadelphia. You know, so, like, I love it when black guys do that shit. I love it when black comedians step out that shit. Something that Eddie Murphy should have done, I think. I hate to put shade on Eddie, but during the 90s, I don't feel like he really tried to step out. I think, like, he built his name, and he was just living off the name in the 90s. And that was pretty much it. He was just living off that name. And he didn't want to step outside the box. He didn't want to step outside his comfort zone. You know, I mean, like, I'm not going to say he didn't do any good things in the 90s. I mean, I guess doing family comedies is him stepping out the box. You're like, I'm not going to do raunchy comedy. I'm going to do family comedy. He's like, I did the voice of a dragon. Give me a fucking break. You know, some shit, right? But, but yeah, man, I love it when black comedians step out of their goddamn comfort zone. I fucking love it. I really want like Eddie Murphy to be like the Black Robin Williams. You know, I look back on his career, he could have been like the Black Robin Williams. He could have stepped outside and did some things that were like thought provoking, and did some things that were menacing. Like Robin Williams in 1 hour photo is fucking amazing. You know, like if you ever seen 1 hour photo, I think that counts in my. I watched this as an adult. Whenever I get to it, I'm gonna get around to reviewing 1 hour photo, cause that movie's fucking amazing. 1 hour photo, he's amazing in that. He did what's that? Insomniac with Al Pacino. Come on, man. Good Will Hunting, which is a movie I haven't seen all the way, so like I can't even judge that. Dead Poets Society. You know, like Robin Williams had fucking chops. You know, like dude had fucking chops. Like. He can go back. He could do all his drama shit. He could be a menacing villain. Because, like, 1 hour photo, he's menacing as fuck. You're scared of Robin Williams in that movie. He's not, like, funny. He's not that funny uncle that you see at, like, the fucking barbecue or at your grandma's house or anything like that. in this movie. He's menacing. He's terrifying in that movie. A guy that you've seen playing all these heartwarming roles and all these funny guys, you would have never thought he could. You would never thought he could pull that off, but he did. If you haven't seen 1 Hour Photo, go check out 1 Hour Photo. It's an amazing fucking movie. I love it. Robin Williams did his thing. I was like, I really wanted Eddie Murphy to be that. You know, like, as he got older, I wanted him to, like, step out of his comfort zone and do movies like 1 Hour Photo. You know, like, play a villain. You know, Eddie Murphy's never played a villain. You know? Like, he's never done that. He's never been a guy, you know, that steps out and, like, I'm gonna play, like, a menacing stalker or some shit. Like, I'm gonna play a serial killer or some shit like that. Like, it never happened. I don't know if he was afraid that people weren't taking him seriously. I don't know if he didn't have the fucking range to do it. But you see him in something like Dolomite Is My Name, you can tell that he has the fucking acting range. You see him in something like Dreamgirls. Dreamgirls is the most out of the box Eddie Murphy's ever been. When he played James Thunder Early, that guy's like a fucking washed up soul singer who's a drug addict. You know, like, that was like one of his best roles. He got nominated for an Oscar for it. He won a Golden Globe for it. I really wanted him. I think if anybody could have done that, stepped out of the box, and people would have accepted it, and more black comedians would be comfortable with stepping out of that box, it would have been Eddie Murphy. It would have been Eddie Murphy. I think he could have pulled it off. But this isn't about Eddie Murphy. This is about Keenan Ivory Wayans, and we're talking about Lowdown Dirty Shame. But like I say, I commend Keenan for trying to step outside the box, at least a little bit, with, like, trying to be action. He's even trying to act. You know, it's not that good. I'm not gonna say that Keenan Ivory Wayans is the best actor, but he's even trying to be serious, and he's trying to act in this movie. What was I saying? Oh yeah. Even though, like, this movie didn't do well at the box office, you know, it's still kind of like the breakout for Jada Pinkett, because, like, it's funny that way, you know? It's kind of funny, because I really didn't notice that, because, like, before this, she did Menace to Society, she did Jason's Lyric, which are two other movies I gotta fucking do. Like, they're coming, stay tuned. But this is like her breakout comedy role. This showed that she could actually do comedy. And she kind of steals the movie. She's like, this is like kind of the movie where she breaks out, I think. Charles Dutton is Charles Dutton, you know, Shakespearean actor. You know, like, that's just him. He plays Sonny Rothmiller, his ex-partner. Keenan Ivory Wayans' ex-partner. He's just doing him, pretty much. He's got that bass voice, that commanding voice, you know, and that's pretty much it. You don't see him very much in the movie. You really don't. Like, he's not in the movie a lot. I want to say there's probably 4 scenes of him. He pops up like maybe 4 times, maybe even less, maybe 3 times. Because he pops up at the beginning, he pops up towards the middle. Yeah, you only see him 4 times. That's it. Like, he's not in this movie very often. Sally Richardson, she's just fucking gorgeous. But she doesn't really have that much range, even when she has to be. She tries to give out this fucking speech, and you don't really feel it, you know, where, like, she's talking about being alone at 12 years old or some shit. She's like, I've been on my own since I was 12 years old, and, like, I really didn't feel it. Yeah, I really didn't feel it. You know, she has a great voice. She has a great, like, soothing ASMR voice. And if you didn't know, Sally Richardson is the voice of Eliza Mazda on Gargoyle, by the way. I guess that's why the voice fit, you know. You know, that's why I say that about her voice. I'm like, her voice is soothing as fuck. I love her voice, and she's a very beautiful woman. Like, very gorgeous, but acting range, not there. Let's talk about my man Mendoza. Mendoza's a very over-the-top villain. You know, like, he's like an over-the-top cocaine, like, lord, like, drug lord. He's very boisterous. He's almost a Batman villain, to be honest. If they wanted to, I'm gonna put it like this. He's the precursor to Tommy Lee Jones's Two-Face, Batman Forever. That's what Mendoza reminds me of. Mendoza reminds me of Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face in Batman Forever. That's how over the fucking top he is. It's not really all that menacing. You know, he's just over the top. You know, just very, very over the top. Like, as I look, when I look at this movie as an adult, I was like, this dude's a fucking clown. You know, he's a fucking clown. He's very, very theatrical. He's a theatrical ass villain. You know, and that's all I got to say about him. Also, Kim Wayans has a small role in this movie. Thing about Kim Wayans, I always found it really weird that out of the original Wayanses that got in the business, Kim Wayans was the only Wayans that never really took off. She's the only one that never really took off. Like, she's just as funny as her brothers, but she never really made a movie career out of it, you know. And she kind of gets, whenever you talk about the family, she kind of gets forgotten about, you know. Like, because, like, she didn't have any movie roles. She doesn't really do stand-up. The only thing she's really known for is in Living Color. And she was on, like, a sitcom for, like, a couple seasons with LL Cool J. You know? Yes, LL Cool J had a sitcom. It was called In the House. It was on in, like, the mid-90s. I want to say, like, 90. I think it was on from, like, 94 to, like, 97, 98, maybe. It didn't. I know it didn't go past 1999. So I know it didn't go past that. But yeah, man, that's all she's done, really. I heard she's really good in this movie called Pariah. I heard she's really good in this. She had a movie that came out a couple years back called Pariah. And I heard she's really good in that. But I might have to check that out. But she really didn't. She really hasn't done much. Other than, that's the only thing you know her for, In Living Color. Really, you only know her for In Living Color, because not a lot of people they probably didn't even know that LL Cool J had a fucking sitcom for like 5 years. You know, so. and she was on it. That's probably the only thing you know her for. I think that's the only thing people know her for, is for In Living Color. You know, because, like, she really gets forgotten about when it comes to, when everybody talks about her family. They talk about Sean, they talk about Marlon, they talk about Keenan, they talk about Damon. And now, Damon Jr., you know, because, like, he's the other breakout out of the younger Wayans. And, like, I think his cousin Shante is, like, kind of stepping up. She's doing stand-up, and, like she's kind of coming up in the game. But other than that, you don't hear about her. I don't know if that's by choice, you know? I don't know if that's by choice or people think she wasn't marketable, because it was very hard to market a black female comedian and get them to the next level in the 90s. Up until about Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany Haddish really is the biggest black female comedian to fucking cross over. Because there's a lot of female comedians. Maybe Monique. You know, Monique crossed over for a little while, but she didn't do very much. You know, she didn't do very much. You know, like, funny black women have always been underrated. You know, funny black women have always been underrated. And maybe Kim Wayans fell into that. Because, like, there was a lot of black female comedians in the 90s that nobody knew about. Like, the mainstream media didn't catch on to or didn't know about, you know. And it's kind of sad, really, really it is. It's kind of fucking sad. But yeah, man, she just never crossed over. And, like, she's funny here. Like, the little time she's in this movie, she's funny as fuck. You know, it's, I don't know, man. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's just that. You know, like, black female comedians weren't marketable. You know, They've never been marketable. I don't think that's ever been, like, unless you give them like a sitcom or something like that. And like, you give them a sitcom and like, it's only like black people watching it. You know, like, they're not going to cross over like a Roseanne or anything like that. You know, they're not going to cross over. Kind of fucking sucks. It really fucking sucks. You know, it really sucks because I'm trying to think of black women that had fucking sitcoms. Like, Monique had a sitcom. Anybody remember Thea Vidal? Thea Vidal, she had a sitcom in like the early 90s. I'm trying to think of other black female comedians that have had sitcoms. And I can't think of one, you know? Because usually, whenever they do a black sitcom about females, they just pick an actress. You know? They just pick a fucking actress. They don't really get... They pick an actress or a singer. Which is funny. Even like when they do comedy. Like, whenever they do comedy. Like, in movies. It's an actress. Or a singer. Or, you know? Or Queen Latifah. I don't know. You know? Because think about Living Single. Which is probably like one of the most iconic... I think one of the most iconic black female sitcoms. None of those women are comedians. Except Kim Coles. Kim Coles. She never crossed over. Kim Coles is funny. And she never fucking crossed over. She's pretty. You know, like, she's funny and pretty. And she never crossed over. You know? It's crazy. I'm going on a rant about how black female comedians never crossed over. They never crossed over. Tiffany Haddish is the first. She's the very first that crossed over and had like a fucking movie career. You know, it's crazy. It's fucking crazy. But anyway, I like the movie. I think this movie was a great mix of comedy and action. Very underrated. Very, very underrated. Sad that it got a 0%. I had fun with this movie. I laughed. I was into it. It had me hooked. Man, I give it a 4 out of 5, bro. I give it a 4 out of 5. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing really wrong with this movie except for, like, Sally Richardson's, like, stiff acting. And, whenever Keenan Ivory Wayans tries to be serious, it falls flat. It really falls flat. But Jada Pinkett steals this fucking movie. Like I said, the little role that Kim Wayans had, and then it's funny. There's this homosexual character in there. I forgot to mention him. Who's like Jada Pinkett's like roommate. He's funny, you know. And I like another thing I like. Like, they didn't disrespect him because he was gay. You know, like, I like that. I guess some people could say, oh, like, Keenan Ivory Wayans is kind of like homophobic to him, but like, dude's kind of coming on to him, so you know. But other than that, after that, they were cool, actually. Like, after they had their little difference, and he was cool with him after that. It, like, he wasn't, like, gay bashing him or being hateful towards him. Like, it's cool. But, yeah, man, I like this movie. 4 out of 5. Join me next week when I review 1996's Don't Be a Menace. Until then, peace.